The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, a couple of different things we're going to do today. Welcome back. Hope you're having a good day. Thank you, Josh. Hope you're having a good day. And a couple of interesting takes here on the COVID vaccine thing, which I'm not going to, you know, go all ballistic about it today. That's up to you. You want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. I have nothing against you or your decision. That's your business, not mine. And so I'm going to a couple of the different ways of coming at it. You have the New York governor, Kathy, is it Hochul? I think that's how she pronounces it, H-O-C-H-U-L. She was the lieutenant governor and now, of course, is the governor on the heels of Andy Cuomo stepping down. So there's the way she handled it in the pulpit the other day at a Catholic mass. So I'm going to play that for you. You can listen to that. And a couple of reactions to the way she went on that one. And then you have Orlando Magic player Jonathan Isaac, who is not getting the vaccine yet, and the way he handled it. And you can compare and contrast between those two. So I'm going to get to that. And then the second half of the show, I'm going to open up the phones because I'd like your input on this. This was an interesting story. Bachelor Nation, 70% of men aged 20 to 34 are not married. 70% of American males between the ages of 20 and 34 are not married, and many live in a state of quote-unquote perpetual adolescence with ominous consequences for the nation's future, says Janice Shaw Krause, author of Marriage Matters. And far too many, this is a quote, far too many young men have failed to make a normal progression into adult roles of responsibility and self-sufficiency, roles generally associated with marriage and fatherhood. So that's what she was saying in a Washington Times op-ed. The high percentage of bachelors means bleak prospects for millions of young women who dream about a wedding day that may never come. And then just overall attitudes towards marriage, which have changed significantly. And so those numbers are changing rapidly. 70% of men between 20 and 34 are not married. So what's up with that? So I'm going to ask that question for my friends on Facebook Live. So be ready to respond to that, as well as the phone call. So if you want to call in, why do you think that's going on? Less and less people getting married. They're getting married at older ages or not getting married at all. But 70% of men, 20 to 34 right now in America, are not married. And that's new territory for us. So what's going on with that? I'm going to ask you that question in the second half of the show. 866-34-TRUTH, as always, is the phone number to get in on that part of the conversation. 866-34-TRUTH or 866-348-7884. I saw this thing earlier today. I heard about it over the last couple of days. Over, this was corrected, 4,600 doctors and scientists signed declaration accusing COVID policymakers of crimes against humanity. And by the way, just a couple of minutes ago, I posted on my personal Facebook page and the radio show Facebook page, Steve Noble Show page, an interview, an Epic Times interview with Dr. Scott Atlas. He got involved with Trump's team, so you would see him occasionally with Birx and Fauci. I really like Scott Atlas. He's very level-headed. He's calm. Facts and figures. He makes a lot of sense to me. He's been one of my favorites over the past year and a half. So he did a great interview with Epic Times about a bunch of different aspects, primarily about vaccinating children and the move in that direction. So if you want to watch that, plus the transcript is there on the post. Okay, so I put that up just within the last 30 minutes. But here's this. This is from September 24th. A physician's declaration produced by an international alliance of physicians and medical scientists strongly condemns the global strategy to treat COVID, accusing policymakers of potential crimes against humanity. Whenever I hear kind of language like that, I'm always like, all right, hold on. Be careful with the hyperbolic language. We have a lot of that out there anyway. For preventing physicians from providing life-saving treatments for their patients and suppressing open scientific discussion. The document states that one-size-fits-all treatment recommendations have resulted in needless illness and death. A group of physicians and scientists met in Rome, Italy earlier this month for a three-day global COVID summit to speak truth to power about COVID pandemic research and treatment. The summit, which was held from September 12th to the 14th, gave the medical professionals an opportunity to compare studies and assess the efficacy of the various treatments that have been developed in hospitals, doctors' offices, and research labs throughout the world. And this is one of the things that's made me nervous over the last year and a half with the COVID issue, COVID itself, and now the vaccines, is that there hasn't been a consensus on this. There's been all kinds of different opinions across the board. And what approach then do you take? And plenty of fear and plenty of people that are afraid to die, and then older people who are disproportionately affected versus younger people. And so it got politicized, obviously. I don't think there's any arguing that. And so that's just kind of made the water of the whole thing muddy. The only thing that's not muddy to me is COVID exists and it can be deadly, especially for older people or immunocompromised people, certain types of people. For the vast majority of us, obviously it isn't, because the survival rates for the vast majority of us are 99%+. But for others, it can be deadly and it can be unpredictable. It can be really scary that way. I don't deny any of that. But there's been all kinds of different information, so I've been willing to share opinions and information and studies that are contrary to the mainstream media's narrative and certainly contrary to the federal government's narrative. And I make no apologies for that whatsoever. I do not need to promote vaccines because I'm not comfortable doing that. In this case, COVID-19, the COVID vaccines. I've never been an anti-vaxxer person. That's never been an issue. And if you've listened to the show, I've been on the radio for a long time. I don't even think I've done a whole show on it ever, because vaccines in general just weren't that much of an issue to me. Now they are, because everything about COVID's been politicized and you don't know who to trust. So this is these folks, and now up to 4,600 of them that have signed on to this. So I'm going to read some of the things from the declaration so you can hear what they have to say, because you're not going to hear it in many other places. Thousands have died from COVID as this is directly from what they signed. Thousands have died from COVID as a result of being denied life-saving early treatment. The declaration is a battle cry from physicians who are daily fighting for the right to treat their patients and the right of patients to receive those treatments, without fear of interference, retribution, or censorship by government, pharmacies, pharmaceutical corporations, and big tech. We demand that these groups step aside and honor the sanctity and integrity of the patient-physician relationship, the fundamental maxim, first do no harm, and the freedom of patients and physicians to make informed medical decisions. Lives depend on it. Okay, up to 4,600-plus doctors and scientists have signed this thing. And by the way, David Fisher, our good friend from Landmark Capital, who was just on after being off the show for the last 4 weeks because he had a deathly version of COVID, almost died, literally, is going to share his story next Monday. We'll do a full Money Monday with David. And he's going to share what he ran into at the hospital and trying to get some treatments other than the protocol they've been told to dispense. And there's problems with that as well. So why not look at all the information instead of just one version? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. If you're interested in perhaps a different take on the COVID and the vaccine, Scott Atlas, who was part of Trump's team last year, and he did a great interview with Epoch Times. I posted that. So you can watch it, which is about an hour long, or you can read the transcript. It's easier to go through it more quickly when you have the transcript, if we still read things. So that's there on the Facebook page for the Steve Noble Show, as well as my personal page. And you can check that out there. But I'm reading from this declaration, over 4,600 doctors and scientists who are hopping mad about the way COVID policymakers have handled this. So I'm just reading from their statement, the Rome COVID statement. Okay, this has just came out in the last week. And they're talking about what's going on here. So these are their official statements, okay, that they all signed on to. Thousands have died from COVID as a result of being denied life-saving early treatment. The declaration is a battle cry from physicians who are daily fighting for the right to treat their patients and the right of patients to receive those treatments, okay, without censorship or control by government entities or anybody else. Trying to honor the maxim, first do no harm, okay, normal stuff. Whereas there is an unprecedented assault on our ability to care for our patients. Whereas public policymakers have chosen to force a one-size-fits-all treatment strategy resulting in needless illness and death, rather than upholding fundamental concepts of the individualized, personalized approach to patient care, which is proven to be safe and effective. Whereas physicians are increasingly being discouraged from engaging in open professional discourse and the exchange of ideas, that's a problem. Whereas thousands of physicians are being prevented from providing treatment to their patients as a result of barriers put up by pharmacies, hospitals, and public health agencies, rendering the vast majority of healthcare providers helpless to protect their patients in the face of disease. Whereas this is not medicine. This is not care. These policies may actually constitute crimes against humanity. Now, this is over 4,600 now, doctors and scientists. Their language, not mine, resolved that the physician-patient relationship must be restored. I'm giving you the nitty-gritty here, just the main points. Resolved that the political intrusion into the practice of medicine and the physician-patient relationship must end. Amen. Resolved that physicians must defend their right to prescribe treatment, observing the tenet, first do no harm. Resolved that we invite physicians of the world and all healthcare providers to join us in this noble cause as we endeavor to restore trust, integrity, and professionalism to the practice of medicine. Resolved that we invite the scientists of the world who are skilled in biomedical research and uphold the highest ethical and moral standards to insist on their ability to conduct and publish objective empirical research without fear of reprisal upon their careers, reputations, and livelihoods. Amen. Resolved that we invite patients who believe in all the importance of the physician-patient relationship and the ability to be active participants in their care to demand access to science-based medical care. That's one of the problems. I've heard story after story. You're going to hear David Fisher share his story, our Money Monday friend from Landmark Gold. He's going to share his story on Monday. He almost died. This is in the last 4 weeks. He almost died, and he's in the hospital, and they have one way of dealing with it. And they weren't, it sounds to me like they weren't very interested in anything else. Until he got in there with the help of somebody, actually a listener, somebody on the show that became one of his clients, and started to demand. And I've heard other stories of that. Here's the challenge, and we've been down this road a couple times with my wife's family. Don't assume that everybody in the healthcare industry has got your best interests at heart, and you're not at the top of any of their lists. In many cases, you're just another customer. Now, there are some doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals out there who are awesome, who you know they have a very deep vested interest in you, and there are others who are not. And so you have to own your healthcare experience. Own it. Those are your decisions. You're not their lab rat or whatever. You have to be aggressive, and you can say no if there's still some personal autonomy anymore. So there's that. So let's hear how two other people handle this. All right, that's New York Governor Kathy Hochul decides to go the God and vaccine route, standing in a Catholic pulpit. I think this is just over the weekend. So do we have Kathy ready? All right, let's go. This is the new governor of New York, Kathy Hochul.
I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers. He made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants.
Whoa.
You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital.
Right, enough of
and
that.
Are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the... virus from them.
Just stop her. Just, I can't take anymore. So that's the New York, governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. God created the people that created the virus. God created the vaccine. God gave us the vaccine. And then God wants you to get vaccinated. And the smart people are vaccinated. And if you're not, you're stupid. She didn't say stupid, but that's what she meant. And that's pretty obvious, right? Because the smart people got it, which means if you didn't get it, you're not smart. Okay? And then she's laying it all at the feet of God. Now, here's the other thing I do with Kathy Hochul, who is a pro-choice Catholic, who was there the day that Cuomo was there when they lit the town pink and they passed the abortion law in New York to allow you to abort your child right up to the moment of delivery. 5 minutes before delivery. Yeah, I don't want it. Okay, fine. Here in New York, we can kill your baby for you. 5 minutes before delivery. No problem. And she stood there with a big smile on her face and supported it. And then when the Texas abortion law passed recently and the Supreme Court didn't go after it, thank God, she says, as the new governor of New York, hey, Texas moms, come up here. Come to New York. come get your abortions up here. We'll take care of you. She was even talking about, we'll try to figure out a way to get you up here. Now, how much am I going to listen to a quote-unquote Christian who's so whacked on those issues? How much am I going to listen to her in terms of what she thinks about what God wants and what he doesn't want and what he delivered and what he didn't deliver? Like, really, Kathy? I think you lost all your moral theological authority when you were smiling the day that your state, and you were standing right next to your governor at the time, decided it's okay to kill babies right up to the point of delivery. And with a big stinking smile on your face and thunderous applause. Golly. Really? Justin on Facebook Live, she failed to mention the people who have got vaxxed and died from COVID or complications from the vaccine. Yeah, so what do you do there? Because there have been that. Those stories exist. Okay, and if you believe the VAERS reporting system, way more, I mean, more problems with COVID vaccines than you've seen in the last 30 years combined. We do not know everything. You don't, I don't. That's why I'm like a big fan of the pause button these days. And the yellow flag. Hey, caution. It's like NASCAR or Formula One. Caution, yellow flag, caution, slow down. Thank God. You want to thank God for something, Kathy? Thank him that 99.9% survival rate for the vast majority of us. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for natural immunity. I thank the Lord that we do have healthcare workers. And I thank the Lord that there's some vaccine help for people that are vulnerable. But we only know what we know after 15 months of putting the vaccine into people. So I'm not assuming that being a good neighbor means getting the vax or getting somebody else to do it. You'll hear a reasonable response when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Okay, so we heard that video and audio. New York Governor Kathy Hochul saying God created the people that created the vaccines, and so God wants you to get vaccinated. And all you smart people are vaccinated, and the other people aren't. Which, by implication, you know what she means. If you don't get vaccinated, you're stupid. I don't think you're stupid if you get it. I don't think you're stupid if you don't. I just don't think about it. That's your decision. That's your business. You want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. And the older and more susceptible you are, the more I'd say, listen, I understand that, because the vaccines do appear to level off and make it less dangerous. And for some people, especially older people or people with comorbidities or obesity, that's a big deal. For some people, COVID is incredibly deadly. So then you're going, okay, well, maybe I have some concerns about the vaccine itself. But for some people, the COVID-19 is way more deadly than what we know about the vaccines at this point. So now you're managing risk. Welcome to life on Earth, by the way. Managing risk, because not until Jesus comes back and establishes heaven on earth will there be a no-risk scenario. So you're always doing that. But I don't judge you whether you got it or not. Okay, that's your deal. It's not mine. All right, so we heard Governor Kathy Hochul handling vaccines in one way. Now we're going to hear Orlando Magic player Jonathan Isaac, who handled it in a different way. And Jonathan has chosen not to get vaccinated. Okay, he's an NBA player, great guy. Jonathan Isaac, here's how he handled it. Are we ready? All right, let's go.
The thoughts, the ideas, and the heart of the people that they're asking questions of. I'm not anti-vax. I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-science. I didn't come to my current vaccination status by studying Black history or watching Donald Trump press conferences. I have nothing but the utmost respect for every healthcare worker and person in Orlando and all across the world that have worked tirelessly to keep us safe. My mom has worked in healthcare for a really long time. I thank God. I'm grateful that I live in a society where vaccines are possible and we can protect ourselves and have the means to protect ourselves in the first place. But with that being said, it is my belief that the vaccine status of every person should be their own choice and completely up to them without bullying, without being pressured, or without being forced into doing so. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm uncomfortable with taking the vaccine at this time. I think that we're all different. We all come from different places. We've all had different experiences and hold dear to different beliefs. And what it is that you do with your body when it comes to putting medicine in there should be your choice, free of the ridicule and the opinion of others.
There you go. Boom. All right. So what? Now, if you're not impressed by him, I don't know what's going to impress you. You could disagree with them all day long, but listen to, and this is a very convicting moment here, watching him handle it and how he answers the question. Yeah, he's got all these cameras on him. He's got all the press on him. He's definitely in the minority in the NBA, not getting vaccinated. But did you hear? If you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can see his demeanor, totally calm. You can hear his voice, totally calm. I mean, almost we're like, hey, got to turn it up a little bit because he was not boisterous. This is what I believe. This is what I think. I don't think this should be a matter of manipulation or coercion or bullying. You do what you do. I'll do what I do. That was incredible. Calm, gentle, Christ-like. I'm sure if I looked it up, Jonathan Isaac, probably a follower. That was some Holy Spirit-inspired self-control going on there, right? Great demeanor. And he didn't give an inch. He was all truth and all grace all at the same time. Great blend. John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus full of grace and truth. That's what Jonathan Isaac was right there. It's beautiful. But he stands his ground. It's his decision. And that's when using my body, my choice is actually accurate. Because he's talking about the medicines that you put in your body, that's your body, as opposed to what you do with the body that's in your body, that's the abortion question, okay? My body, my choice, except that's not your body. That's a distinct human being from the moment of conception. When the sperm meets the egg and you have conception, you get all the genetic material you're ever going to have, all the genetic information that you have right now, you got at the moment of conception when you became a human being. And then time and nutrition, and later out you pop, and then you grow, and then here you are, okay? So my body, my choice is not valid in the abortion question because there's actually two bodies there, two human beings, distinct people, and you don't have the right to eliminate the other person's life just because you don't like the timing or whatever. In this case, what you put into your body, my choice, now that's accurate. Okay, and that was excellent. I think that's a great example of how if I could, I need to figure out a way to be able to post like that, that my posts come across that way. Because I know they don't. And sometimes they don't come across as very self-controlled because they aren't. Shocker. Newsflash. Anyway. So there's just various angles on this. I share all this various information in order to try to give you the ability to think and to be a critical thinker, and to take in different points of view as opposed to just one, right? So that's why I do what I do when it comes to COVID. And then, yeah, of course I have my own opinions on it, and I share those too. But you're not going to catch me being a fan for something that we only have 15 months of data on in terms of post-vaccine effect, especially on younger people. Like I mentioned earlier, go watch that video interview with Scott Atlas. It's excellent. And I put the links up on Facebook Live. Okay, there's this one. Bachelor Nation, 70% of men aged 20 to 34 are not getting married. So more and more guys not getting married, waiting later, perpetual adolescence. Let's set aside that some people are called to singleness because they are. But why do you think people are not getting married? Why do you think that young people are, less and less of them are getting married, and they're getting married later? Why do you think that? That's my question for you. What do you think is going on in our culture here in America that fewer and fewer people are getting married at younger ages? And I'm not talking about 18, 20 in college, all right? I'm talking about 70% of men 30 or 20 to 34 are not married. 70%. That's a huge number. My question for you is, why do you think that is? So please give me a call. I'm curious just to see what your take is on it. Because I'm not the only one that has an opinion, and I'm not the only one that can make sense from time to time. 866-348-7884 is our number. I really want to hear your take on this. Why do you think fewer and fewer men are getting married between the ages of 20 and 34, which of course means fewer and fewer women? But why do you think? What do you think is going on in this culture with respect to this? Why are fewer people getting married at younger ages? Why is marriage falling off the radar screen? 866-348-7884. Would love to hear your take on that. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, your take on that. So here's from this article. This was in CNS News, talking about this 70% of American males, 20 to 34, are not married. And it's doubly terrible because the college now are predominantly female, the author writes. So you have some up to 60% of the student bodies are female, and almost all of them are more than 50% female. And so the ratio of male to female is out of sync. Young women who adhere to a moral code and refuse to participate in the hookup culture are now considered social misfits, Krauss pointed out. Krauss is the one that Janice Shaw Krauss, author of Marriage Matters. So she's the one that uncovered and started talking about this. And they face even more daunting odds of finding a husband than their promiscuous sisters. According to a 2014, listen to this, 2014 data from the U.S. Census Bureau, 7.9 million opposite-sex couples in the U.S. live together but are not married. A 2014 study by Johns Hopkins University also found that 57% of children born to women aged 26 to 31 are born out of wedlock, 57%. Even researchers from the left are coming out very strongly for the family and for marriage and saying the two-parent family is necessary for children to do their best, she told CNS News. It's not just good for them, it's the very best. It's the gold standard. It's essential for children to reach their potential, and that has to be communicated in this popular culture. But men are not entirely blamed for the steep decline in marriage, she pointed out. Quote, a lot of women fear marriage. While feminism is a spent force, excuse me, the ultimate consequences of that philosophy is a whole generation of women who don't want any man to tell them what to do and don't really understand that give and take is necessary for marriage relationship. I've seen that a lot with young women. Friends of my daughters and stuff in their age group that are like, why do I want to get married? And then I can't do what I want. And I've got to be told what to do. So we got that issue that people just don't even really understand marriage. And all they hear is maybe submit. So you got that. Okay. Let's go to our callers. 866-348-7884. Jonathan's calling in from North Carolina. Go ahead.
Well, I think you just sort of made my point. I think selfishness is the root of the issue, and it probably has been going on a lot longer than 20 to 34. I don't think people are ready. I don't think men are ready to lead, and I don't think women are comfortable trusting their men and giving up the supposed privileges of our society.
Yeah, so Jonathan, how do you think that we kind of came to that conclusion, the younger generations, that I don't want to give up my autonomy, I don't want to give up my independence, and if I get married, then that just means I become literally like lose my life, sell my independence down the road, and have to be told what to do by my husband. How do you think we kind of ended up with that conclusion?
I just think our human nature has been fed that. I was thinking today, even I'm a driver driving home. I don't think they have the goal. When I grew up, there was a goal, there was an ideal that we sort of pursued, and I think everybody understood that there were good things attached to traditional goals, and because a lot of that's been discarded, their folks are not looking ahead to anything. They have trust, and they're just looking at their own feelings at the moment.
Yeah, what a great point. Jonathan, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate that. 866-348-7884. Victoria and Mo, I'm going to get to you next. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Oh, angel said from above, you know you make my world light up.
Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Right, there's that old saying. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Bachelor Nation was the title of this article. 70% of men aged 20 to 34 are not married. What's going on there? You have perpetual adolescence, stay in a mom and dad's basement. And then you have kind of the snowflake generation. So everything's about you. You get what you want. And so marriage appears to a lot of younger people. And I've had these conversations with our daughters and their friends and their peer group, you know, 23 down to 16, they start thinking about marriage, and it's just like, I just sold my independence down the road. I don't get to do what I want, and it's all about just taking care of this other person. That doesn't sound very fun. And so we live in this kind of entertainment. It's all about me. And even you through your phone, through your social media and everything else, you design everything to be about you. And so the idolatry of self. And so why would you want to get into anything that's selfless, which is really what marriage needs to be? I love you. You love me. I take care of you. You take care of me. We both win. Neither one of us were trying to win. It's a little marriage advice there. 866-34-TRUTH is the number. 866-348-7884. Why do you think this is happening? Let's go to Victoria calling in from North Carolina. Victoria, sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Go ahead.
You said it in a nutshell. The Bible said in the last days, men will become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That people want to commit, that they don't want the commitment, they just want the pleasure. And there's a lot of women, females, it used to be that the men were most promiscuous. Females are so promiscuous now till they have lowered their standards to the point where men just, they don't have to do too much or nothing to go to bed with them. So
yeah.
If the women will raise their standards up and want to be true dedicated to the Lord, you got to present your body, live and sacrifice. People don't even do that no more. They just go to church. I call them churchgoers. Most, a lot of people that go to church, they are not Christians. You don't see Christ in their life. They go to church, get that little 1 hour sermon, they come back out and they're doing everything the world doing.
Yeah.
So people need to give their commitment back to the Lord and then make sure that don't let nobody take you to hell. So I'm just saying, the women, if they would raise their standards up,
yeah.
then these men won't have no choice but to, if they want to be with them, to yeah. abide by the standards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Victoria, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you waiting. God bless you.
You too.
All right, thanks. And there you go. I'm not going to settle for that. You think you're going to take me out once, and then you're going to take me to bed, and then you're going to meet me on Tinder and get whatever you want? Sorry. So if women just started saying, sorry, no losers, losers need not apply, then guys either have to get their act together or you're just going to be lonely. You'll be by yourself. But this is not a news story, of course. But her point is, there's a bigger point there, that the overall degradation of mankind as we head towards the final day of the Lord, right, that's going to increase. All that stuff's going to increase. And the digital era makes it all the worse. Let's go to Mo's calling in from North Carolina. Mo, thanks for holding. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, I definitely agree with your other callers. Young men are so pampered today that they don't have to work. They don't have to do anything. They don't want to take any responsibility at all. And why should they? They can live at home for free. They don't have to work. And everything's basically handed to them. And if they're not living at home, they can be on unemployment. So when you have a society of people that take no responsibility, why get married? I mean, it's a selfish, very selfish society.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I appreciate you calling in and making that point, Mo. Thank you so much. It's a very selfish society. That's just human nature, by the way. Again, I hear Solomon out there saying, hey, you guys, knock, knock. Hello, everybody. There's nothing new under the sun. Yep, we've had this problem for years. Now, with the digital age and with what's going on with kind of perpetual adolescence now, I think it's worse. They just don't have to grow up. You can get away with it. And we have too many parents, and I've struggled with this, it's too enabling towards your kids. Because you were helicopter parents and we're lawnmower parents and we're trying to clear the deck. And then everything's about them. Well, if you look at marriage, it's not going to work if it's all about you. So you're telling me, hey, I should go make this commitment. And then it isn't all about me. But society has told me, the digital world has told me, social media has told me, advertising has told me, it is actually all about me. And I like that. Well, you like it because that's your sin nature. Yeah, your sin nature likes it to be all about you. That's why marriage can be so difficult. By the way, that's why salvation can be so difficult. Because salvation takes you out of the question, takes you out of the equation. You can't fix this. You can't be good enough. You can't go enough. You can't give enough. You can't do enough. You have to surrender and admit that you're powerless. And you got to throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus Christ. No, that takes me out of the picture, man. I don't like that. Now, there's consequences to all that. We're just talking about one of them. And then the scary thing here that's mentioned in this article, up to 60% of the student bodies in college now are female. So now you're getting only 40% are male. So now you're getting men that are less and less educated. Doesn't necessarily mean you're not smart or you can't be successful. But for educated women, they're probably looking for educated men, and there's less and less educated men. Therefore, why fish in a pond where you don't have somebody you consider to be your equal? Really challenging. You want to chime in on this one. 866-348-7884. Why do you think 70% of men aged 20 to 34 are not married? We've never seen numbers like these before. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Johnny calling in from North Carolina. Johnny, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I wonder if part of it is also the parents aren't teaching and catechizing biblical truth to both the women and the men of how to become biblical, godly men and women and all the roles associated with that. I agree with all the other callers.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a big part, that they're not knowing how to think and what to do for their lives and for marriage as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because even our daughters and some of their friends, when you bring up marriage, the first thing they think is that you're kind of selling your dreams and your goals and your aspirations down the river so that you can be told by some guy what to do. And I'm like, where did that even come from? Why do you even think that? Because that certainly isn't what we've modeled. It isn't what we've taught. Yet that's a pretty normal opinion out there amongst people in their late teens and early 20s as to what marriage is all about, because marriage doesn't, it's not about catering to you, Johnny, or catering to me. It's about caring for the other person. And so in this me culture, that's just not appealing. I think that's a big part of the problem. Yeah. Johnny, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I just have to roll over here. I got Robert calling in from North Carolina. Robert, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Hi, Steve. This is a pretty important topic for me. I think that one of the biggest problems that is kind of facing marriage, and especially men, is that it is selfishness, but I think a lot of the selfishness is on a part of the women, in how they have a level of entitlement, and once they are married, if the marriage does fall apart, then I think men are seeing the way that they're treated in the court systems and how a lot of their assets are being taken away, like their children, and, you know, through alimony and child support. I think a lot of men are actually just seeing that the entire society, our entire culture, is set up for the benefit of women, and they're being left behind. Like you had mentioned earlier, 60% of college students are women. Well, is that students or is that graduates? So what's the actual, like, graduation rate versus the enrollment rate, you know? And I think, you know, when you really look at the statistics about certain issues, you know, men are more likely to die in wars, more likely to die in the workplace, more likely to commit suicide. And I think that they're recognizing that society doesn't really care that much about them as compared to women.
Yeah.
And so I think it's selfishness on both sides. So it's selfishness on the part of women in that if they don't get what they want, then they're going to end the relationship, get as much money as they possibly can because the courts are in their favor, especially if they have children.
Yeah.
And then selfishness on the part of the men because they're not willing to, you know, do more, like what you're saying is, you know, they're not even willing to even try to get married.
Yeah.
And so many times, you know, women will, you know, cheat on their husband and then brag about it and say, you know, I feel justified because he wasn't giving me what I wanted.
Sure.
So
he
made me go somewhere else to find what I need.
Right. So, and that's part of that human condition. That's nothing new there on that one. But Robert, those are great points. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great points. And then you got to remember one thing I just wrote down as Robert was saying this, that we've got divorce wreckage. So marriage has been in trouble for a while here in this country. And, you know, that really started back with good old Ronald Reagan as the first governor to sign no-fault divorce. At least here in North Carolina, they make you wait a year. And that's infuriating to a lot of people. But I'm like, okay, you can almost never make a great decision in the heat of battle or when you're super emotional, even super broken or super upset, super rejected, super betrayed, whatever the case may be. So I appreciate that there's a wait in North Carolina. But for most people, there isn't. And so this generation, and then the way they're taught, and me, and feminism, and the way that the digital world caters to the individual. It's all about you. How many likes do you get? It's all about you. And you look at marriage and go, well, hold on a second. That doesn't appear to be all about me. And that's not very good, but there's a lot of divorce wreckage out there when 50% of marriages, roughly, are ending in divorce, and the kids of those marriages, you think they want to sign up for that? Again, this is just stuff rolls downhill from each and every individual sin. And we see it here with 70% of men aged 20 to 34 not being married. But as a parent, for all of us parents, let's make sure we're teaching what biblical marriage is all about, which is I love you, you love me, we love the Lord. And as we exercise those things, we all end up winning. And I went into it not trying to win. I'm just trying to serve you. You're trying to serve me. We're both trying to serve the Lord. And guess what? Everybody wins. Not perfect, but it's certainly attractive. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.